Well, good morning, Saints of God. This is Ty Moore bringing you your online Bible school with Grace Institute. And we are sharing this with our other discipleship group, PowerPoint Motivational Word, PowerPoint Discipleship, and Favor Media. We want to welcome you to our Monday morning edition as we start out a new week. And in this new week that we have begun, we're going to be sharing with you all this week and perhaps next week on recognizing the Holy Spirit. Now, when we say recognize the Holy Spirit, what do we mean by recognizing the Holy Spirit? When we say recognize the Holy Spirit, that means someone that you have had an encounter with, someone that you have that you know that you have made an exchange of knowing that person because you've been with that person, you've been around that person. And because of that, you are able to recognize them. It's like recognizing someone's voice. You know, when you've been around them and you have had encounters with them in numerous occasions, then when you hear their voice, you will recognize that it is them who's speaking, or you will recognize their presence. If you have been around a person before and you haven't seen, you will recognize them. So we call to all this week, and next week we'll be talking about recognizing the Holy Spirit. And so, and you could either put it in a manner of releasing the power of the Holy Spirit, but to release him, you have to first recognize. And so when you recognize the Holy Spirit again, it's one, the word recognize means it's having an encounter with someone or something. And so you and I should have an encounter because we are born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17 say, therefore, if any man be in Christ, they are a new creature. Excuse me. They are a new creature, and old things have passed away. And so, and all things have become new. So this new identity that we have is through the presence of the Holy Spirit. So when you recognize in recognizing the Holy Spirit, it is because you have had an encounter with him. You have embraced him. You have had time to fellowship with him, time to understand his ways. And so all this week we're sharing with you recognizing the Holy Spirit. The last 2 weeks we talked about releasing, but in order to release him, you're going to have to recognize his voice. You're going to have to recognize his ways. And so this week we're going to share with you, if you have your Bibles, go with me to the Gospel of John chapter 14. And let's make our faith confession and let's get started in our lesson. So say it out loud with me. Once again, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever, whom the Lord has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I want to say good morning. Thank you for joining me once again. And if you look here with me in the Gospel of John chapter 14, in actuality, starting chapter 13 through chapter 18, Jesus is actually come away out of public ministry for a moment into private ministry with his disciples, because he is preparing himself to do the will of the Father. And that is to do what? To make himself that sacrifice, that living sacrifice presented before the Father, so that you and I can have this day that I'm sitting here teaching to you about right now. So if it hadn't been for a God-man, Jesus, God manifesting himself in the flesh and giving his life, spirit, soul, and body, if it hadn't been for him, I could not sit here with the liberty, with the insight, and the freedom to share this life with you, because I wouldn't have no understanding. But because of what he has done, I have not seen Jesus physically, but I know him. I've heard his voice. in more ways than you can understand. And I know that he's alive. And you say, well, how do you know he's alive? Because his word is alive. And when he speak, when you speak his word and know his word, you will know the voice of God. Because God does not, he is not indifferent. Listen to me carefully. He is not indifferent from his word. This is so important that you understand that. You know, we say, how do I know the voice of God? How do I know this is God? Well, this word, this Bible is God. It's God breath, God breathed upon, God inspired through natural men and women to do what? They were inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's why we say recognizing the Holy Spirit. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit to do what? To write the Bible. And you have to remember, these characters that wrote the Bible, they were actually living it out before it was written. The Holy Spirit was leading them, inspiring them, come up on them before God begun to allow them to write it out. And so we have this book. We have a better hope of understanding God and his word because it's written. Every home probably in America just about have at least one Bible. And so, and we're always challenged, always saying, well, I want to hear God. I want to know God better. But if you notice, your intellect, it will try to hinder you from reading that Bible. Because why? It does not understand the Bible. It does not. It, why? Because it will go against just about everything how you live life at the moment. Until you are born again, then only with this Bible, this book, you will begin to start paying attention. You will begin to start drawing from it. Why? Because the life that of the author of this book is now living on the inside of you. But before it get on the inside of you, even if you just say, just as a, you know, an intellect person or someone that loves to read, and you read the Bible from cover to cover, you can read it from cover to cover, but it's the Holy Ghost that makes sense of it. It's the life that's in you that calls you to come alive. It's the life that's in you that look for you to live that life right in this realm. Listen. When you are born again, and especially being filled with the Spirit of God, it is easy for you and I to recognize his presence, because it is not of this realm. And that's why Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again. Now these are Jesus' words. Except a man be born again, he cannot see. Notice the word he said, he uses see. He cannot see the kingdom of God. So in this world that we live in, that's all people see because they live using their natural eyes and their natural perception. That's why they can't see Jesus. That's why they can't see God. But I can see Jesus. I can see God. I can see the Holy Spirit. Now you want to say, how can you see that? Because I have the word. The word and God are one. The word and Jesus is one. The word and the Holy Spirit is one. They are all one, put in this book. So that you and I, when we read the word, or we look up scriptures, or we look at a certain subject in the Bible, regardless of what it is, the Holy Spirit can lead us from one verse to another verse. And what it does, it put us in position of the life that we have in us that it's strengthening us in a manner in our soul, in our intellect, to do what? To turn off darkness, to turn off selfishness, to turn off every evil, wicked way of thinking and doing. It helps us to turn it off. See, the Spirit of Christ in us, because no matter who we are, no matter what family you were raised, you could have been raised in the best Christian family household. And as a child, you will submit yourself to your parents, to their way of doing, even as a Christian. But as you become 18, 19 years of age on your own, you have your own identity. You have your own personality that begins to come forth. Thank God for the truth that the parent or grandparent put in you, because I believe that you're going to come back to it. You know, if you get the opportunity to continue to live, you make right choices. But for a while, people will choose their own path. And so all we can do is pray and believe that the eyes of their understanding is enlightened, that they can see. Because once you have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, once you're able to recognize his voice, recognize his ways, then you will always cling to the Bible. You will always look to the Word of God and say, what does the Word say about that? Why? Because you have a witness on the inside of you. You have an unction, 1 John 2:20 and 2:27. You have an unction and need no one to have to teach you of these things. Now, you do need a teacher to explain, but you have the teacher inside of you that's revealing. But the teacher that we have need of today is for our intellect, for our understanding, so that we are able to release the Spirit of Christ that's in us so that it can affect my intellect, it can affect my soul. It's also called renewing my mind, because without a renewed mindset, I will still live carnal. I will still live, you know, in the flesh. But to live in the Spirit by the Word of God, you're going to have to recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit that's always with you. So you can't recognize someone if you don't know him. Amen. Even as a believer. See, you could be born again, but not recognizing his presence with you. Why? Simply because you're looking at it from a perspective of hearing something outwardly. You know, the best way I could put it to you like this is, you know, whether it's a secular song or a gospel song, or either, you know, just natural saying from your parents or grandparents, who, or maybe you was in the sport world, whatever arena you find yourself accustomed to. But let's just use a song, music. And again, whether it be a music, you know, a song in the world, or whether it be a gospel song, secular song, or a gospel song, when you sing it with your mouth, guess what you're doing? It is going down on the inside of you, and it is restored as a part of your memory. It is restoring itself there, or storing itself there. And notice this: it has a way of recalling what you were singing. You could be walking along, going to work, or running, or whatever it is that you may be doing. And then all of a sudden, because you sung that song enough, phrases of that song gonna come up. Are you following what I'm saying? What are you doing? You're hearing your voice. You're hearing the song that you have rehearsed out loudly. That's the same thing with the Word of God. When you find yourself listening to the Word, putting your lips on the Word, then all of a sudden, then guess what? It's going to start talking back to you. See? And that's the reason why Proverbs, 23:7 saying, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Why? Because whatever he thinks on, To think on something means to speak out loud, to think silently, to read under your breath or whatever. Well, guess what it's doing? It's going into you. And again, you give it a few days later, whatnot, all of a sudden that song gonna come up, that verse gonna come up, or the saying of maybe listening to someone teach the word, it will, that phrase will come up. And when it comes up, you notice what it's doing. It is bringing you to a place whereas conception has taken place. You have conceived what it was that you spoke out of your mouth, you know, from your physical intellect. I want you to see that, because once you can understand that, once you recognize that, then you'll be mindful what you put your eyes on. You'll be mindful what you utter out of your mouth. And the reason is why? Because you recognize that whatever I'm saying, if I'm not careful, I am causing it to come to pass in my own life. Are you following what I'm saying? And so, good morning to you, Sarah. But I want you to recognize that the Word of God, as we get into this lesson about recognizing the Holy Spirit. So let's look here at John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. And I'm going to look at this from this aspect of reading it to you from the Amplified Bible. Okay, so as I read this to you in the Amplified Bible, John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, it said, this is Jesus. He said, "Do not let your heart be troubled, distressed, agitated." I see, just because you're hearing that, when you find yourself trying to be distressed or agitated because you're hearing the gospel, you're hearing the word, well, guess what? Because there are times that are going to come up that's going to want you to be agitated, that's going to want you to be distressed. Why? Because I don't know how I'm going to handle this in myself. I don't know how this is going to work out. What Jesus right here is saying, because he's letting his disciples know, again, that he's getting ready to leave. He's getting ready to go and do the will of the Father. And so here, notice this, he said, "Do not let your heart be troubled or distressed, agitated." He said, "You believe in and adhere to and trust in and rely upon God." Believe in, adhere to, and trust in, and rely also upon me. What is he saying? Because we are one. He's teaching them. I'm the same one that created the heavens and the earth. I'm the same one that's in this body. I come to earth to do what? So that you could have, again, in your possession, Genesis 1 and 2, because that's why we were created. We're created to have dominion. We're created to have authority. We're created to rule and reign on this earth. Even though the first Adam may have messed things up, but Jesus, being the second and final Adam, has not only redeemed us, but he has restored all things back under his power. That's why he is Lord. When you say Jesus is Lord, that's what it means. That means he's Lord over sickness, over death, over disease, over poverty, over shame, over defeat, over stress, over anything that you could think of that the first Adam gave the power over to Satan. Well, Jesus took that power, took that right away from him, stripped it away from him by his spirit. Not his body. Now, he gave his body, you understand, to be presented by the Father. He gave his body as the will of the Father to be presented as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice for the sin of you and I. Then his spirit became very contagious to every manner of evil, sin, sickness, disease, poverty, whatever. And then the spirit of Jesus, not the body, the spirit of Jesus went to the place of prison called hell, where Satan and all of his cohorts were, and his spirit was held there by stayed, notice it, held there by demonic forces, thinking he's in there, but we don't know what to do. They don't know how to handle this. But they're trying to figure out that he cannot escape. Because everyone that was in there belonged there, should stay there, but not Jesus. Jesus' spirit was there laying in a place of prison. I think that's what it is, 1 Peter 3:19 or 3:9. You could look it up and what it is. When the Father saw that the justice of what sin did to humanity, when the justice was satisfied within himself, that Jesus had fully satisfied every aspect of what sin did, then the Father sent the Holy Spirit to bring him up. Why? Because he was not a sinner. He was a sacrifice for sin. He was my sacrifice. He was your sacrifice. So what are you doing? We should look and not see Jesus on the cross, because we're coming up to the Resurrection Sunday, this resurrection time in this right now. It's don't see Jesus on the cross. And you need to see yourself. He was your substitute, because you and I could not go in our own power, in our own strength. He did it for us. So through his humanity, see, Jesus was identified with you and I when he was hung on that cross. That's when his identity with mankind was made known. When he hung on that cross, well, when he went to that whipping post, it started in that garden, actually, the Garden of Gethsemane, when his mental disposition became so disturbed and so burdened and so depressed upon what he was entering into. Jesus had to enter into that moment. He had to partake the burden, the oppression, the stress, the mental anguish that it brings, that people suffer with today. He had to, on his own, on purpose, take it. Remember, in order for us to be free, he had to become everything that the first Adam gave to Satan. In order for us, to walk in this freedom. So what was God's plan for that? It's so that, because God's plan is Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, that he created the heavens and the earth, and then he gave us, he blessed, he said, let us make man in our image and likeness, and let them have dominion over the earth. And then he blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply. That's your purpose on the earth. That's your purpose of being redeemed. That's your purpose, that you got the power of the Holy Spirit that bear witness with your spirit that you are born again, that God did send his son. I mean, even lost people, unsaved people, know that God became a man in the flesh. They don't hardly understand it, but they know that he did. Why? Because there is an intuitive knowledge, according to Romans 1:18 through 21. There's an intuitive knowledge that God placed within all of us that know him. God did not create no man, no woman that don't know him. He put it in them before the parent. Your parent came together and brought you into this realm, that intuitive knowledge of God, of who God is, how God created the heavens and the earth, it was already there. So when your parent came together, regardless of how you came about, when your parent came about, he put that intuitive knowledge in that seed. And everyone, so when a person say, well, I'm an atheist, or I don't believe in God, I don't this and that. Nope, they lie. Now, because of what they went through, because of what they experienced, because of how they see life and how the philosophy of how they were raised around them, it could have muddled, it could have darkened, weakened their belief in God. Why? Because based on their experiences, based on what their family gone through, based on maybe the part of the world that they live in. And, you know, if there was a God, why is this poverty? Why is this? Or why I was, you know, so based on where you are, you will judge God through that, you know, through the lens of how you will conceive. But if you go back in your mind, there was a moment that you knew that God was real, that God is alive. Because you can look at the moon, you can look at the stars, you can look at the sun, you can look at the four different seasons. How is all of that come about? You can look at all the oceans, the seas. I think there's seven oceans or four oceans, seven seas. Look at all the body of water sits in one place because word was spoken by its creator. What do you know? Who do you know can cause water to stay like it is? Because if one time the whole earth was filled with water and God spoke and commanded the waters to be in one place and dry land to come forth. The only reason why these things are as they are is because God created it that way. God never created the oceans and the seas that, you know, that a storm wind can get up under and cause waves 20, 30 feet and come inland, maybe 50, 100 feet in inland, drowning out everything, destroying all, you know, the properties and everything that's on that land. And God never created that water to do that. That was through the fall of one man disobedient, but through one man obedient of righteousness, who I'm talking about, Jesus, you and I now have this authority. That's why he gave us that authority. Let us make man in our image and likeness, and let him have authority. Authority where? Over the creation. So the purpose of your new birth, the purpose of you and I being born again, is to take back the authority, to take back the ruling and reigning in this life that God has made unto us through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the living Word that created the heavens and the earth. Everything that is created, you have the life, the seed, the essence of that life living inside of you. So when you speak to the waves of the sea, when you speak to the winds of the air, when you speak to the pestilence, or you speak to the drought, or you speak to the whatever it is, when you speak to it, it has to bow its knee. It's not bowing its knee to your flesh. It's bowing its knee to the word of the authority that you have been granted as a believer. Because God created it in a perfect manner. God created it in a manner that it will listen to you. So things change in the manner of how I believe. Let me say that to you again. Things will change in the manner of how one believes. That's why I say recognizing the Holy Spirit. When you understand his voice, when you understand his ways, when you understand his identity that's in you, what is he doing? He's bringing you to the fullness of what God, how God created the heavens and the earth. We are not walking in the fullness thereof. When we begin to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, recognizing his presence, because why? I have to spend time with him. And when I spend time with him, whether I'm reading the word, whether I'm teaching the word, whether I'm hearing the word, what am I doing? I'm spending time with him. I'm gaining wisdom. I'm gaining insight. I'm gaining understanding all the time throughout the day. So when the Holy Spirit give me a specific task or to make a stand on something, you know, I don't have to hear a voice. I got the witness on the inside of me. The presence walk with me. That presence that walk with me, that walk with you, it gives you the authority over anything of God's creation that's not right. Whether it be someone that is homeless, whether it be someone that is paralyzed, or someone that is lost their mind, or someone that dead, or someone got some type of deadly disease, or whatever it may be, Jesus is Lord over it. And whatever they got on them, or wrong, or on them, or through them, you and I have been authorized. You don't have to pray to get the authorization from God. You already have been authorized. Are you following what I'm saying? You have the authorization. You've been authorized 2,000 years ago to heal the sick, to cast out devils, to raise the dead, to cause the blind to see both spiritually and physically. You've already been authorized. So you don't have to say, Lord, if it be your will, no, that's a wrong prayer. You take charge, you walk, you act as one that's been authorized. If you have held any type of position, this is the reason why the rich young ruler, I mean not the rich young ruler, the centurion, and you know, in Matthew 8, and I think in Luke 4, whatever, but Matthew 8, it talks about how Jesus, the centurion, came to Jesus for his servant, because his servant had value to him. The centurion wasn't sick, but his servant was sick. And the centurion knew of Jesus. He have heard of Jesus, and he understood the power and the authority that Jesus carried, because he understood the power and the authority that he carried as one in authority. And he know that whatever authority he had, his ranking that's over him, it supports his stand. It supports his decision because it empowered him. Well, I want you to know, all of heaven is supporting you, that ministering angels, the God, the Father himself, the Son, the Holy Ghost. I want you to understand, it's supporting you to do what? To make that stand. So that centurion understood that you don't need to come to my house. All you need to do is to speak the word. All you got to do is to say it, and my servant will be healed. Why? Because I'm a man too under authority. That man understood the authority of Jesus' word. So he said, if you say to my servant that to be healed, he will be healed. And Jesus told him, as you believe, go as you believe it should be. And that servant was made healed, was made whole in that very hour. Why? Because the man understood authority. This is what God gave all of us through the new birth. You know, we had it from the foundations of the world, but again, it was muddied. We couldn't see, we couldn't comprehend. It was only upon the Old Testament saints to do certain things for the glory of God. But under the new covenant, in this new creation that you and I are living epistles of, you've already been authorized. You don't have to wait. God has already, that's why Jesus said this. He said, do not let your heart be troubled or distressed, agitated. You know, he said, you believe in, adhere to, and trust in God, rely on God, Believe in me, adhere to me, trust in, and rely also on me. Why? Because him and my Father are one. We're not different. We are three, but we are one. Just like you and I. We are three, but we are one. Notice this. He said, my Father's house, there are many dwelling places, home, and if it were not so, I would not have told you that I'm going away to prepare a place for you. So the day will come that we all will be in that place where we no longer have to take authority over this. We no longer have to walk in the dominion of this. But while we're here in this earth, because God created the earth is the Lord, but he has put it in the hand of you and I. So it is up to you and I to do what? To walk in this authority. Because if you look for God to do something, if you're praying, Lord, would you change this? Lord, would you do that? And he's going to let you know, how could you want me to do something about something when I've already did it and it has been placed in your authority? It's been placed in your hand. So I can't do something that I've already given unto you to do. I don't have it. I gave it to you. Are you following what I'm saying? It's just like saying, you know, if someone gave me $100 bill, you know, to pay a bill, and it's just like I'm saying, can you help me to pay for this or what? You say, well, I don't have that $100 anymore. I gave it to you. So you can have the money in your hand to do something and not understanding this is what you need to, it is given to you to make the exchange. You have this power, you have this ability of being a new creature, recognizing the power of the Holy Spirit in you to do great and mighty exploits. But if you don't see yourself in that light, living life in that way, if you don't sit under the sea to recognize the Holy Spirit, you got to understand, you got to be in a place of hearing his voice, recognizing it in this light. Why? So that when the enemy tries to come along, because notice the Bible says in 1 Peter 5, it said, he is roaming like a roaring lion. See, if I don't know how to cast all of my care, the whole of my care upon the Lord, because I know he cared for me and trust that all is well, it said the enemy is like a lion roaming, see, looking to devour whoever don't have no understanding. And that's how we get trapped, because we get caught in the situation, we get caught in the storm, and we stop using the word that gave us eternal life. And we're looking for something up there, and God has placed everything within us. And if we don't learn to release the power and the authority of the life of Christ that's in us, you will live with allergies. You will live with sinus infection. You will live with every kind. You live with arthritis. You live with everything that's under the curse that came through the first Adam, not recognizing you've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Are you following what I'm saying? But you, because I've been redeemed, you have to recognize the Holy Spirit is there with you to do what? To remind you. You say, well, my allergies is acting up. It's, the policy. And the whole you hear inside of you, hey, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. See, when you recognize that because what is the Holy Spirit? He's going to speak from the word. When you recognize that voice, no, he's not condemning you, but knows what he's doing. He's reminding you. He's bringing you to a place of conviction of what? Of whose you are. He's bringing you to a place, he is saying, now awake to the righteousness of whose you are. You were prone to live with allergy under, you know, when the season changed, your allergies would act up, your sinus would get infected, or this or that, or you may have this reaction, that reaction, this skin reaction. No, all of those things may be so under that Adamic, that first Adam of the curse, but now that you have been redeemed, your Lord, your Savior, became that living sacrifice before Almighty God so that you and I would not have to suffer through these different things anymore, because God never created you and I to experience that. He created you and I to walk in dominion of that. Let me say that to you again. God never created you and I to go through that. To endure. He created you and I to take dominion of it. Are you understand what I'm saying? This is why it's so important that you and I become, you know, be awakened. Awakened means to rouse. I'm trying to rouse your understanding of saying, stop saying my allergy is acting up, or my sinus is infected, or you know, my, you know, I can feel the weather change. My, you know, I can feel it in my joints or whatnot. I'm very conscious. I mean, even at times, you know, I used to hear people say that. And as you get older, you know, it's like, you know, your mouth want to go to that direction. Your mind want, and I make a jump start. I say, no. Why? Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. See? Just because you feel something don't mean that it's so. You can change that feeling. Why? Because you have the word of the kingdom. You're born of God. And so when you know that you're born of God, that means you have the word, you have the word of the kingdom of God living inside you. The word of that kingdom will override everything that's wrong in your body. That's why Jesus is Lord. When you said, by his stripes, I am healed. I rebuke this sinus infection. What are you doing? Because you hear, you heard, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So what is he trying to do? It's trying to get you to release the greater one. Oh, I think somebody just got healed. I think somebody just got set free. I sensed the release that was in my spirit. Somebody just got set because you were suffering with something, dealing with something, and because you received, you recognize who you are, you recognize the power of the Holy Spirit with you, and now all of a sudden it just lifted off of you. So now receive that. And every time whatever that is try to come back, you say, no, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I don't receive that. I receive the new life that I have on in. So I speak to my body. I speak to my body and I tell my body, every cell of my body, be healed. Be regenerate, new life. Because you got cells inside of you that will that should be regenerated when you and I speak life to it. Why? It's waiting on the word of God to be spoken. Only the word of God can awaken those cells that's on the inside of your body. And if you don't speak the word of God, the word of life over your body, over your circumstances, over your finances or whatnot, then I'll tell you, the things of this natural world, it will continue to try to press down or press you and keep you and I in a place that you and I can't go free. But the devil is a lie. today is a new day. So we're going to pick this lesson back up tomorrow. We're going to pick it back up in John 14. We're using John 14 as a jumping off spot of recognizing the Holy Spirit. Remember, recognizing the Holy Spirit is that he's going to always be speaking the words of Christ, the word of God to you and I. And when you hear that, it's going to come right out of your spirit. Now, your soul, depending on where you are, how you're thinking, and at the moment, your soul will try to squash that. But don't let it. So when you hear and you say, well, how do I know the Holy Spirit? Because he's going to always be speaking to you in line with the word. What you already have. So what is he doing? He's helping you. He's helping me to say, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now, he can't talk to the disease for me. He can't talk to the pain for me. But he's telling me what I have. So now because I have the authority, because I'm the one that rule and reign, the power to rule and reign is in me on earth. God put it in me through the life of Christ. So what am I doing? I'm releasing that life that's in me because I recognize the power of the Holy Spirit that is here to do what? To assist me to walk in the victory that is already mine. And every day, throughout the day, that's what the Holy Spirit does. That's why when we talk about recognizing the Spirit. So I know you listen to this lesson. So rather than trying to go back on Facebook and listen to it, you can. But I do have a podcast that you can go to. It's called Grace Institute Online Bible School. That's what I'm teaching from right now. It's called Grace Institute Online Bible School. You'll be able to upload this lesson once I complete it. And if you don't have the podcast of Grace Institute Online Bible School, it doesn't matter if you have an Android phone or iPhone. If you have Spotify, if you have Amazon Music, if you have YouTube Music, if you have iPhone, the Apple iPod cast or whatever, all you have to do is go to one of those and put in Grace Institute Online Bible School. And okay, when you put Grace Institute Online Bible School, then your phone, once you put it in that link, whatever your podcast, just go to your app store on your phone. Again, if you have an Android phone, just go to your app and put in Amazon Music, because you have it. It's there. You put Amazon Music and put in that Grace, G-R-A-C-E, Institute, I-N-S-T-I-T-U-T-E, online, O-O-O-N-L-I-N-E, Bible School. And when you put that online, Grace Institute Online Bible School, then it will show up. You'll see a little eagle, a gold background with an eagle. That's me. You can download that. And everything that I've been teaching, you have access to it. Amen. And so we want you to enjoy the word, enjoy your life. And as we say to always, until the next time, may God's best and his favor be with you. Love you now. We'll do it again tomorrow. Somebody help that young lady that has the that's it. Grace Institute Online Bible School. That is it. That is it. When you put that in your podcast, whatever your favorite podcast is, it should come up because we're on most of all of the major podcasts. Okay, even if you have Spotify, what's the other one? Another one that people have, but it's. I think we have Podbean, any one of those, okay? So I love you. Thank you so much. And we'll do it again tomorrow. Bye-bye, everyone.